Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Okay, now we're recording.
We lost a lot of quality content there.
Yeah, it was just you talking about Gauntlet.
And it wasn't just Gauntlet. It was you talking about a bunch of crap, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Consider yourself defeated by yourself.
I just got bolt-actioned.
you got bolt-actioned. Bolt-action. I'm going to go play bolt-action in Northampton.
Okay, so let's recap briefly what we talked about.
Dicks, balls.
And more dicks. I think you missed dicks there somewhere.
Shit.
Okay, so to recap really quickly, Steve thinks that Gauntlet, the new Gauntlet, looks like poop.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Slayer is it Dragon Slayer or
Dragon's Lair?
Okay, yes. Good. Stupid portmanteau.
Also Space Ace.
And Space Ace is great, too. I need those Don Bluth games. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly hard. They're the original Dark Souls, because it's like, there's no...
You died!
There's a lot of titties in that game, too.
Yeah.
big Don Bluth animated titties.
Now we're talking. Don Bluth's a huge perv.
Yeah. And I don't like mashups anymore, mashup shirts, because I think that people... it's just an excuse for people to say, I like two things, but I don't have time to show you that I like both. I have to mash them up together.
Yes, the mashup shirts.
Yes, because Doctor Who and Mega Man need to be put together so that I can tell that you like Doctor Who and Mega Man.
Yeah, which, like, nobody should like Doctor Who, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't think Mega Man's that great of a game to begin with either, so.
Nah, yeah. I mean, it's old.
It's
it's old.
It was great for its time. I beat Mega Man 2 and 3. Never beat Mega Man 1, but...
Mega Man 1's the easiest.
Yeah, I never had it. I never played it. I played Mega Man. I had Mega Man 2 and 3.
Yeah, Mega Man 1 was super hard, but if you played 2 and 3 first, then you played
Mega Man 1,
you're like, what?
Gutsman. Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
The only thing hard in it is like Wily's Castle, like some parts there.
Yeah. And Steve's farting. And. Yeah, but what I did like about the. Is that at least the games that they did have, like any of the. Skill-based game, and not skill-based, but the, like the shooters or any of like the flying,
like Operation Wolf,
yeah, Operation Wolf or Revolution X. We're talking about the Gaming Ghost. Me and Pat.
The Galloping Ghost.
Yeah, the Galloping Ghost.
The Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yeah, they didn't have that one there.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do. I didn't see it.
Got it. It's hiding somewhere.
Oh, I think you know what? I think I did see it.
That game's shit.
I smell the shit that's literally coming out of your ass right now. Yeah. The Star Wars arcade game.
Breathe it in.
Any of the flyers. All of the joysticks were calibrated. All the guns were calibrated properly. That's a sign of a good arcade. Mm-hmm. As a man who worked in an arcade for 4 years, I could tell you the sign of a good arcade is whether or not the joysticks are calibrated.
Did you play some Discs of Tron?
No, I did not play Discs of Tron.
That game's a fucking jam.
That game's a jam.
So good.
I played Burger Time a lot.
Oh, yeah, Burger Time. I fucking love Burger Time.
Burger Time is one of my original... Burger Time, Pac-Man... Oh, Miss Pac-Man, not Pac-Man. Pac-Man blows. Miss Pac-Man is good. and Galaga are, like, my three... Those are my three go-to games for playing back in the day. And I would love any of those games to have. Especially Burger Time. I love Burger Time. Oh, Frogger, too. Can't forget Frogger.
Dude, Burger Time is the best. You're fucking little chef. You're making burgers. It's like, it's awesome.
Except in the second stage, it's got that weird yellow patty that doesn't make any sense of what it is.
I thought that was cheese.
But there's no burger.
Hmm. Oh, chicken.
It could be. I think
it's got to be a chicken patty.
I think it's Japanese, so it's probably something weird like pineapple.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
And you could put the egg on there, the fried egg.
Mm. Yeah. I always wondered about Burger Time is the fact that you do get chased by a fried egg.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy who invented the concept of the fried egg on the burger was playing Burger Time in like the 70s and 80s and go, and getting chased by an egg? What? This doesn't have anything to fucking do with burgers. And then he's sitting there and goes, wait a second. What if I put the fried egg on the burger? And he tried it and he's like, this is delicious. Burger Time is a prophet of our age.
He starts worshiping Burger Time. He's got a cult. They all have little chef topes and they're it's like, oh. Like the ritual of sacrifice they all throw pepper on you. You're like, ah, pepper.
Who thought this was a good idea for a sacrament? But yes, it was. I it's got to be the answer.
Burger Time's good. The answer is Burger Time.
The answer is Burger Time.
I love Burger Time. I got a sweet Burger Time t-shirt.
Do you know? Is it a mashup? Is it like Burger Time mashed up with like Game of Thrones, where Jon Snow is getting chased by like giant sausages?
A, I would wear that.
I know you would.
B, it is not. It's it looks like a clock. It's got the burger guy. His arms are like the hands of the clock. And then there's two angry looking hot dogs on it. Because what time is it? Burger Time.
Oh, I see. I get your references. But I think
now I want a fucking Game of Thrones Burger Time mashup.
With Sam, no, it'd be Samwell Tarly getting chased by the sausages. And maybe a fried egg.
Yes.
Or something like that. You know. The fried egg is a White Walker.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
I don't know if you've been noticing the comments lately, but people have been yelling at us to stop singing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it's just one guy.
It's not happening.
I think it's just one guy.
Is it just one guy? He just has multiple usernames?
Maybe. I don't know. They should let their voices be heard, and they should just go on the Facebook and just, you know, in solidarity, going together.
Yeah, but it's not going to stop us.
No.
No.
It's fucking impossible.
No.
Nah.
Simply the best.
Nah, it's like, yeah.
All right, so let's...
You can take my life, but you can never take my singing.
Take my learn, take my...
Oh, man, the Firefly theme song, you had to go there. So bad.
It's like one of the worst. It's the reason that show got canceled,
It might be the definitive worst theme song.
I don't know, Enterprise. Star Trek Enterprise.
There's no lyrics.
No. There is. It's terrible. Hold on. Let's...
Oh. I was thinking Next Generation.
No. That's one of the best theme songs of all time.
Yeah, I was like, that song's so good. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
It's actually the theme from
Star Trek. So Star Trek Enterprise has lyrics?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, that's a horrible idea. There was never any lyrics in any other Star Trek show. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, that's the theme from Enterprise.
No, you're shitting me. You're fucking around.
No. I hope you guys can hear this.
I can hear it, most likely.
My mind, 'cause I've got faith of the heart.
Turn this off. This is awful.
Where my heart will take me.
I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm out.
To believe.
Done. Classy's over.
Classy.
I'm going outside. I'm gonna hang myself from the first tree I can find.
Yeah.
No wonder that show got canceled. No wonder Star Trek's been off the air for years, because they did that.
I know. And actually, in reality, I really liked Enterprise. The last season of Enterprise is really good. They hit their stride in the fourth season, and then they got canned.
Holy shit in your mouth with that theme song.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Although, I think that theme song's still better than the Firefly. Firefly's fucking awful.
No, Firefly is great. The theme is awful.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, except for the part where it's like, you can't take the sky from me. Like, that part's fine. That line. Right. So if the entire theme was just like some dude like jamming out on a guitar and he just goes like, you can't take the sky from me. And that was it. That's it.
Some guy with no teeth and a big scraggly beard and maybe a straw hat.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into some gaming stuff.
And then
stuff.
The terrorists win.
Let's get into some gaming stuff because... Dungeons and Dragons 5th Ed. Or Dungeons. Is it Dungeons and Dragons 5th Ed officially yet, or is it still Dungeons and Dragons?
They're calling
next?
It Dungeons and Dragons next.
Okay.
But I mean, everyone's just fucking calling it.
Why are they doing that? 5th
edition. What?
Dungeons and Dragons next. Why can't they call it 5th Ed?
I don't know, dude.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to. It's. Because what happens for 6th edition?
Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition was technically not ever actually called Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition. It was called Dungeons and Dragons.
I know. But so, I mean.
Did anyone ever call it Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, people call it
4th Ed.
Well, people call it Dungeons and Dragons. Like, morons call it Dungeons and Dragons.
No, just 4th Ed. People call it 4th Ed.
That's not Dungeons and Dragons. That's World of Warcraft, the RPG.
They didn't call it Dungeons and Dragons. It was called it 4th Ed.
Okay. It wasn't actually Dungeons and Dragons.
No, it was pooping and pooping.
Pooping and pooping. But what happens after 6 for Dungeons and Dragons?
Dungeons and pooping.
After 6th edition.
Hmm?
What do you do after 6 when you get to 6th edition?
7E.
No, but I mean, what it...
No,
what
no, no. You just do 7E. When you're on 6th edition, You produce your books and you put 70.
Why?
Because exactly.
Just fuck with people?
Yeah, you just do 70 people. You're like, fuck, I missed an edition.
I missed an edition. I gotta buy these books. No, but I mean, like, after next, like, do you call it, like, next? What comes after next? Next literally means after.
Well, I mean, again, on the books, it's just, I believe it's just gonna say Dungeons and Dragons again. It's not gonna, I think they kind of got past the, like, putting the number on the books.
I have no idea about anything that's in Dungeons and Dragons next. A lot of people are positive. I know you got some news on it.
Yeah, it's kind of, like, pants-jizzingly good.
And, but the funny thing is, like, it looks so pretty.
Oh, the artwork? Yeah.
Everything about it looks pretty. Oh, yeah. I'm, like, looking at it, and I'm like, fuck, that looks pretty. Like, it looks like second edition pretty. Mm.
Oh, like, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Simply the best!
Yeah, like, when I was looking at the books online, I was like, ooh, I must have that. I mean, like, because that
would be mine.
One of my problems with 4th edition is it looked like something out of the 2000s, very sterile and, like, really poorly graphically designed, like most stuff from the 2000s, the early 2000s looked. It was just like, did you design this on your Apple computer and, you know, to make it look as generic as possible? Like, you give it some flair. Like, at least this new edition.
Yeah, you could have put two extra books in it. One could have just been pictures. The other one could have been, like, a catalog.
People would have ate that shit up and put six titans on the table. Oh, wait. Well, we're going to talk about that a little later. But the art and the books look like straight out of 2E, second edition. It looks like the AD&D first edition, not AD&D second edition. The first run of AD&D where the poll...
The thing generally that was called second edition.
No. Second edition... No, I'm talking AD&D, not AD&D second.
Oh, so advanced Dungeons & Dragons with hit matrices.
I won Dungeons & Dragons, and it was advanced!
Yes.
No, but the... it's the one with the hit matrices and the... But the whole cover is the artwork. There's no, like, border around it that says, like, Dungeons & Dragons! And then the, like, border of taupe with, like... lime green lines on it. No, it looks really cool. Like, going back old school, really hitting that nostalgia factor right in the balls.
Yeah, well, they basically took the... This is the D&D that you've only had in your most feverish dreams.
All right, so did you play it, or did you just look at it?
A little bit of A.
A little bit of column B.
A little bit of B. So basically, it's all star.
A lot of D, straight up D.
Well, there's a lot of D and even more D.
Steve, you want the D?
I want the D and D.
Oh. I think I got my deep drive out.
It's Dungeons and Dragons all star, basically.
All stars.
They took all the best stuff from every edition and mushed it together.
So a lot of kobolds.
Oh, not monsters. The monsters manual is pretty ridiculous. But no, it's like, so the abilities, the way they worked in 4th edition.
Yeah.
You know, where everyone has, like, all this crap. And,
where you have to have a stack of cards, like a pile high.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But not for a wizard.
Oh, so they kept that for wizards.
More or less. Like, it doesn't look the same. And not
any sort of spell cast, probably like wizards, priests,
yeah, they just, they basically designed the wizard spell list to reflect having a character that can do something every turn.
Yeah.
So, like, your cantrips would be your at-wills, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And you can cast those repeatedly. Then you have your level ones, which are essentially encounter powers.
Ooh.
You know, but they're not... Nothing is called it. So, wizards can always do something.
Okay.
They always have an offensive or, like, utility option that they can do with the cantrip. It works.
Man. Yeah. I cast Dazzling Lights.
My spells were not powerful enough to save you, Shogun. I'm sorry. Freezing Ray.
I cast Communicate with Dolphins.
There are no dolphins. What are you doing? There are dolphins hidden under the ground. Ground dolphins.
Oh no, sweet...
I'll free them with my katana blade.
Sweet sand dolphins. That would be sand dolphins.
Sand dolphins. So, God damn it. So next month, the starter set's coming out.
Yeah.
$20 starter set.
Box.
Contains everything you need to play. It's got a little DM guide. It's got a little player's manual. pre-gen characters for 2 to 6 people.
Will there be a halfling?
Probably.
Yes!
I mean, halflings are pretty standard in D&D.
Gwildor the halfling will make his return.
Mm-hmm.
I have the cosmic key!
It's like as the session starts, it's like, and 3 bugbears attack you. They all ignore everyone except for the halfling.
No! Curses!
And they pummel the halfling with clubs until he's been reduced to nothing but a fine jelly, which then they proceed to defecate upon.
Oh.
And they take his stuff.
Oh.
Would you like to roll a new character? Okay, I guess I'll just make a new halfling.
You got it. I think they should bury him with all of his treasures and gold, said no D&D party ever.
There's no treasures and gold left. They beat it all into the puddle of goo.
Wait. Spoilers if you haven't watched Game of Thrones. How come Oberon didn't coup de grace?
Yeah, right? That was the thing. I saw that on the... We tweeted like, what an idiot. If you have your opponent prone and helpless, your next words are coup de grace. Good
stuff. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. I was laughing so hard when I was watching. I was giggling like a little schoolgirl.
It was awesome. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, we're still
I'm a gore hound, so.
Well, yeah, but for me, it's more of.
Yes, spoilers. We already kind of just spoiled it. Spoilers.
I said spoilers ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, come on, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you should have at least downloaded it.
You should have seen it by now.
Yeah, but the best was, I hate Boba Fett characters. I hate characters that are cool and mysterious that people like for no reason. I mean,
Oberon was definitely a character.
It's not necessarily they like
him. If you're trying to say Oberon's Boba Fett, you're wrong.
No, Oberon is totally Boba Fett, and here's my reason why.
He's not at all.
No, here's my reason why. Just listen to me, and you could disagree with me however you want. Oberon is Boba Fett because Oberon shows up and people are all like, ooh, who's this sexy new character? And he acts all badass. And he actually is kind of badass. Like, Boba Fett's got his jetpack, he's got his guns and everything like that. Oberon comes out, like, when he challenges everyone, he pulls out his spear, he defeats the mountain, but somehow still goes out like a bitch. And people like him and even though he still goes out like a bitch, people still like him.
I would hardly say I was going out like a bitch.
Dude,
he killed the most overpowered character in the show. Even though he died.
He killed the most overpowered character. I like how you're reducing it to like a gaming term.
Yeah.
He's overpowered, dude.
He is. So he killed the most.
He's only 250 points, and you could field him in a platoon level game.
He's won every single game they've gone before. It's like Tywin's like, oh, I win again. The mountain's super balanced, right?
I play the mountain. God damn it!
Yeah, it's like this is it's you.
God he's damn the flame it! Tank. The mountain's he's the flame tank. You're like, God damn it, Lyson, why do you keep playing?
My guys are fucking taking panic tests because he brought the stupid fucking mountain again.
Every time. He's banned in every fucking tournament. What makes you think he's okay to play in friendly games?
So one, he didn't go out like a bitch because he defeated the most overpowered character.
Well, he technically didn't defeat him. I mean, he stabbed him a bunch of times.
The guy's dead.
Is he?
Yeah, he's dead.
He's up and about.
He's not up and about.
He's up and about. Now, jam his thumbs into the dude's eye.
That is not up and about. He basically, like, in his death throes, he, like, I kill you first, and then died. So anyway.
As a person who read the books, I'm going to say, maybe?
Boba Fett is a non-character.
He's a non-character.
Because all Boba Fett has is... He has 11 seconds of camera time just standing there.
Yeah, but everyone loves him. Why does everyone love him for that 11 seconds?
Okay, people like Boba Fett because he looks really cool.
Yeah,
but
so
that's
does Oberon. Oberon's sexy cool.
But Oberon has personality. He's a character.
Yeah.
You know, he reacts to things. He talks. He has fucking dialogue.
He means a lot to me. He means nothing to me dead.
Yeah, okay, so Boba Fett's entirety of Boba Fett's lines are...
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, he fucking says nothing. He says, like, one word to Vader, and it's like, okay, no disintegrations.
I think he's...
fucking awful. But anyway, so Oberon's awesome. He's in a bunch of episodes. Like, and the other thing, too, is, you know, unbeknownst, like, if you don't know what's going to happen, you might just think Oberon's going to be another character.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is, like... The difference is between a TV show and a movie. I mean, what I'm saying is that it's the same sort of thing. It's like people really love him, even though he
was fucking cool.
He goes out like a bitch.
No way.
He goes out like a bitch.
No way.
His hubris in the eyes of Tywin Lannister.
You go out like a bitch.
hubris, Steve. It'll get you every time.
No, man, it was his rage.
It was his rage. It was his hubris, thinking that he could be better than Tywin Lannister.
Thinking that, no, he wasn't fighting Tywin Lannister.
Oh, yes, he was. It was by proxy.
Nah.
Because the whole point was that he wanted the Mountain to confess that he raped Elia on the orders of Tywin Lannister. Like, he could have went there and killed the Mountain at any time, but what he wanted to do was, in public, get the Mountain to confess that he did it under Tywin's orders. Because he wants Tywin to be held accountable for his sister's death.
That doesn't work that way.
Well, I'm just saying that was the way
he also wasn't trying to get him to confess. He wasn't trying to get him to implicate Tywin. He was just trying to say his shit.
Yeah, but I mean,
which he did after he punched his teeth out.
Yeah, but I mean, he wanted to get Tywin Lannister responsible. That was his whole point in coming to the King's Landing. Stare down.
I'm unimpressed.
Okay, but I'm just saying that's the reason.
Unimpressed.
Defeated, unacceptable!
Defeated the most overpowered character. Gone. Yeah, he's fucking dead. Like, There's no fucking way he's coming back.
Dorne sacrificed their epic character in order...
Hey, this is fucking Game of Thrones. Mountain, not going back. He's done.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's done. Even if he's still alive somehow, he's gonna be in a fucking, like, bed for forever.
Comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so let's get back to D&D. I don't remember what we were talking about with D&D. We were talking about the feats and stuff.
I've got a Game of Thrones boner.
Yes, but we can't talk about Game of Thrones right now because neither of us play the RPG, CCG, or any or,
or the board game.
Or paint any of the Dark Sword miniatures. I play the board game, but not like where I'm going to sit there and talk about it all the time. Like, and then the
you
wild...
push little horsies?
And then the wildlings
attacked.
Give
little horsey tokens?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the wildlings attack.
Oh, no, you play the...
I play both.
You play...
Battles of Westeros.
Yeah, that's the one.
And Game of Thrones, the board game.
Colors and Command or whatever.
Command and Colors. All right, so D&D, we were talking about the feats and things like that for the wizard characters.
No, I was talking about the differences, the all-star thing.
Yeah, the all-star.
Whatever, that's not... Without getting into any sort of meatiness, the starter set's coming out.
Yes, that's what we were talking about. Oh, because we got into the halfling character getting beat to a pulp, and that's what reminded me about Oberyn.
Yes. So the starter set's coming out. There's enough for running your characters from level one to five.
Okay.
There's a pre-done adventure, dice. Then you know that's all. That
they're
stuff.
Doing the dragon thing, right? Isn't that like the first adventure?
Tyranny of Dragons is the first
overarching
campaign.
Is that like just in their own little world? It's not like Forgotten Realms or anything, right?
I believe Tyranny. I think it's in a new world. I'm not sure.
It's not Dragonlance.
It's not Forgotten Realms, and it's not Greyhawk. I know that.
It's not Dragonlance.
But, interestingly enough, the player's book, PHB, in a bunch of its descriptions, They just bounce from world to world.
Really?
So, like, one of them's like, they're describing a fight outside of Castle Ravenloft, and then another one, they're describing something happening in Greyhawk and Forgotten Realms, because they're really trying to push the multiverse thing for D&D, which is good.
That's so it's taking place in Planescape, is what you're saying?
No. It's not a narrative in the player's handbook. I'm just saying for a bunch of their examples, they use different.
Wouldn't it be like really
worlds.
Funky if like for fifth ed, they decided that the one that they're gonna really push is Birthright? It's just like what? Why?
No, that wouldn't be funny. That would be a horrible idea. So then the month after, you're going to have the player's handbook and the first adventure book, the Horde of the Dragon Queen.
Yes.
Then after that, about 6 weeks after that, you're going to have the Monster Manual.
Yeah.
And then about 6 weeks after that release, you're going to have the
Dungeon Master's Guide.
Biggest difference between this edition and the other ones. Half the rules are not in the player's handbook, with the other half being in the DM's guide.
Which makes sense.
You get all of the rules in the player's handbook.
Oh,
so
really?
So you can play D&D with just the player's handbook.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
The Monster Manual obviously is monsters, so like...
Bugbears, gelatinous cubes.
Yeah, they say the Monster Manual is optional, but everyone knows that it's not really optional.
Rust.
Unless you want to make up every single monster, which I guess you could.
Yeah, owlbears.
Owlbears. bugbears are fucking versers, apparently, in this one. They made them, like, real nasty. They juiced a lot of the monsters because they're like, we're going to make bugbears the toughest enemy you're gonna fight at level one. Like, pretty much. I was like, all right.
What's the rust? The rust monster?
Oh, the rust monster. It's garbage. The rust monster.
It's garbage.
I love the rust monster.
Beholders.
Yeah, beholders.
Beholders.
And then
with their anus,
the little butthole, the little sphincter butthole, on the Reaper model. I love it. I love it. The DM's guide is gonna have shit tons of magic items. And then, like, world building guides and, like, running campaign guides and that kind of stuff. So, like, there's gonna be some meaty content in there, but it's no longer it's no longer like, oh, you have to buy all these books, which is sweet because they're all coming out 6 weeks apart. So $50 price tag on all the books, you don't have to go.
Well, it's not every book. It's just the three big ones are $50, right? The adventure manual is not gonna be
$50. No. The adventure book is probably gonna be $20 softcover or $15 softcover, whatever. And then the starter set's $20. The main hardcovers are $50 each.
Because I think I'm gonna,
which is nice because you don't have to walk up to the store when it comes out and go like, here's my $150. I'll take all the books, please.
I will take all the books. I mean, fourth ed wasn't too bad. I think it was $70. I got all three books.
I mean, that's a deal because it should have been. They're all 35.
Well, yeah, I got it like in a box set off
bundle
Amazon.
Yeah. On Amazon. Yeah, that's another thing too. They talked about how Amazon was one of the reasons that fourth edition got killed.
You think?
Yeah, because Amazon and Barnes & Noble, because they bought so much of it.
Oh, that they were kept.
They just blew it out. So the game stores and like the smaller mom and pop locations had nothing that people wanted to buy. Because like they're like, hey, I got all the new. Like I talked one of my customers. He's like, fucking D&D, you shitting me? And I was like, no. Here's why. And he's like, oh yeah, because when he had his D&D fourth edition stuff, he's like he brought in a bunch of it, and all his customers were like, oh, I already got it off Amazon for like $60.
Yeah. So are they doing it through Amazon again or?
Well, they're just doing it as single books, and it's not going to be. It'll be what they actually did. Wizards has a policy now that helps out the
local gaming stores.
Yeah, the FLGS, if you will.
I fucking hate when they put F in front of it. Cause who the
fucking local game store?
Who the fuck are you to tell me my local game store is friendly? I don't want my local game store to be friendly.
What? I just want it's a fucking local game store.
I want them to be surly and angry right. about games.
Well, it's not my fault that you think that the F is fucking friendly, okay? So that sounds like a personal problem.
Fucking local game store.
Yeah, it's the fucking local game store. And you can say, like, fucking local game store. Like they're like they're the Newman of your life.
Newman.
Fucking local game store.
Right, so, I love my local game stores. I go there quite often.
I would love it. I would love the game store that opened up that would be within 5 to 10 minutes of my house.
Well, that's because you can't.
No matter what it is, that would be the best. I hate the fact that every fucking game store is like a half hour or more away.
Oh, mine's real close. My local game store is like literally a 5 minute drive from me.
I would love that if they could be the worst game store ever. I'd still love them because they're 5 minutes away. Yeah.
So hear that if you want.
Simply the best.
If you want to open up a game store in Wheaton, Illinois. That's really close to
Wheaton.
Or
in Will Wheaton, Illinois.
Will Wheaton, Illinois.
Yes, Will Wheaton, Illinois.
Yeah, but would they help out the local gaming stores, fucking local game stores?
Yeah, so 2 weeks, they have a 2 week advance where the game stores get the books first. And then your big places get it. So that's been going on for a while, but by the time they implemented it with fourth edition, it was too little too late.
Too little too late.
So this will be right off the bat, you know. Guns blazing. Here's how it's in. Here's how it's done.
I like that. And then,
as far as the rules go, like, it's fucking boner jams. Like, I'm super excited. I can't wait.
You're gonna run a little small campaign for when the box set comes out?
I will run the box set, yeah.
I want to be in on that one. So make sure that I am in contact so that I can run the box set and play Gwildor with my halfling.
No, you have to play the pre-gen characters.
Hambone the halfling? That's the pre-generated character. Hambone.
If you can find Hambone the Halfling in the little stack of characters, you're more than welcome to play him.
Cornbread the Halfling.
Oh, you'll like this, maybe. One of the things when you build a character in this edition now is backgrounds.
Ooh.
You get a background for your race, class,
color, creed,
combo, and so you can pick. And what they are is rather than being. Because I thought they were going to be stupid, like, oh, I have +3 to hit dragons because I'm a dragon slayer. Yeah, or like, I have all of my spells refresh if I could save the Shogun.
I never save the Shogun.
I'm out of spells again. No, if...
By the way, Katana Guy keeps commenting on our stuff.
He's the legendary Katana Guy.
People fucking love Katana Guy.
The well, it's because anyone who's been at a role-playing group at some point, they've had a Katana Guy in their... There's been a Katana Guy in their group.
I like Failure Wizard. He's my favorite. I cast Dazzling Lights. But anyway, yeah,
Prismatic Spray! I lost what I was talking about.
Background.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, backgrounds. So you pick like Hero of Hamlet, whatever.
Yeah.
And what that is, like, you are like a legend in your local town.
Hamlet, yeah. Your local
Hero
village.
Of Hamlet would be a pun for Temple of Elemental Evil.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I haven't played Temple of Elemental Evil.
That's it. So. And then like, so that gives you a RP thing where like we can go and, you know, you're destitute because the villain has like machinationed you into nothing. You could be like, we can go to my hometown. They'll welcome us. And then you don't need to do anything for it. That's part of your character. Like your home, you're beloved by your hometown.
Oh, that's cool.
And then like they have other ones. Like you could have like, maybe you have founded like a small fighters guild or something.
Oh.
So then you might be able to go ask your small fighters guild for help or things like that. So it's more things to flesh out your character.
I'm a member of the Stonecutters.
Yeah, you can be a member of the Stonecutters. And be like, remove the stone of shame. Attach the stone of triumph.
Let's get drunk and play ping pong. That's cool. I'm actually...
No, Homer, that's the royal sampler.
You like getting monkeys to reenact the Civil War? I'm really excited about 5th edition. It's like, it's making me like a little salivary, like going like, ooh, this is going to be fun.
I thought there'd be no possible way that this would actually like touch Pathfinder. I thought Pathfinder had the RPG market just by the balls too hard. I feel that it might be time for the OG RPG to return and claim its crown.
We'll attack it with a dragon strike.
Oh, absolutely.
Before we get off D&D and go on to some other gaming stuff.
I never want
to
get off D&D.
I did some crate digging, some bookstore hunting, and I got some stuff to bring in to show Steve.
Oh.
Some old AD&D 2E stuff. The first thing I have,
the Complete Gladiator's Handbook from Derrickson.
Derrickson.
Sweet. Do you have all the Derrickson books?
No, I don't have all the Derrickson books,
man.
But I did bring something else from Derrickson.
That's what you gotta get done, though. Is this the Derrickson campaign book?
I have the Derrickson campaign book at home.
Ooh, Forest Maker box set. Is it complete?
It is complete.
Nice.
I actually bought it. It was still in the package.
What's...
Or the wrapping, so to speak. But yeah, it's full complete. It's got the really shitty... this one didn't come with the flip books.
The new arms and equipment guide prepares you for anything. Don't leave your castle without it.
Don't leave your castle without
it. That's pretty hype. I love Dark Sun. Dark Sun's my favorite setting.
Yeah. And then I also got this.
NPC table. Is that Oh, no, that's not it. Is that Al-Kadim? No.
No, this is Empires of the Shining Sea 4 Forgotten Realms.
Yeah. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority, but I've Forgotten Realms never did anything for me.
I love Forgotten Realms. You know why?
Well, so do most people.
Love Dark Elves.
Get the hell out of here. Take that fucking box and shove it up your ass.
What's the matter?
Dark
elves. You don't like Drizzt Do'Urden?
You can't do that voice for Drizzt. Drizzt is the ultimate katana guy.
Uh-oh.
Drizzt is like, I use my scimitar and my longsword, and I'm a drow that's totally good, even though drow are generally evil, and now I'm leaping into the air with my puma, and we're thwarting foes and R.A. Salvatore, and I've got a 90-page sword fight where I'm battling, and my skills are described, and you know how strong my sword attacks are, because I'm Drizzt Do'Urden, and I've inspired...
You can't play...
Infinite
he's
characters.
He's an NPC. You can't actually play him.
Fine,
in the game.
My name will be Drizzt. Drizzt Do'Urden, a relative of Drizzt.
all of Drizzt's male heirs were actually killed.
Fucking hate Drizzt. The fucking worst.
I am Drizzt Do'Urden. This is my panther.
What, you know,
Salvatore.
Best thing you can do in fucking Baldur's Gate in Baldur's Gate 2 is find and kill Drizzt. He's fucking hard. He's really hard to beat in the first one, because he's like level 15 or 17, and the highest you can get in that game is like level 10. So he's actually a fucking hard fight.
Is he now?
Yeah, I actually beat him by just training him. So the AI got stuck on the pathing, so it couldn't cross a river, and my guys killed him with slings. I was like, can't get to me, Dritzt. I imagine that's how Dritzt would go down in the fiction as well. He'd just be stuck walking in place in front of a lake. He's like, I can't cross. What's going on?
You know, you know my intense hatred of most cosplay. 90% of cosplay I hate. One of the things I love.
But packages. Big, bulging packages.
That's part of the thing I like, is like, yeah, is gross cosplay. Oh, I love, yeah, like, one of my favorite things in the world is people who do dark elves, but they do the full black.
like Chang.
Not purple or like the dark gray. Full black. Just because I love that when people who don't
the magician,
people who don't know what that is, see that, is one of my favorite things ever.
So you like the racism of it all?
I like the perceived racism of, like, it's like, no, I'm not being racist. I'm a member of House Duerden. The ninth house of the, you know, of the drow and the underdark.
Oh man,
what are you talking about?
Fucking name.
Okay, so moving on, we've just talked 35 minutes about D&D.
I don't know, cosplay is kind of something which, like, I'm just kind of over it.
It's, to me, it's, I don't even want to get into it. I'll talk more about it when we get to Comic-Con era time. So news comes out that 7th edition 40K is outselling 6th edition?
Yeah, I think that's I actually think it's a blatant lie. I think they're using numbers. Like,
they're
books, the book's more expensive.
Yeah.
Number one. If they're counting starter sales, like, they could be counting, because they didn't actually show data. They didn't have anything other than a guy, like, quipping, like, it's selling better because it's a better product. Like, that very well may be true. Not to continue to ride the fucking, like, dick of GW, but they could be counting starter sets that have sold since 7th edition came out.
Wait, what do you mean rules? Starter sets?
Dark Vengeance.
Oh, Dark Vengeance.
Because it's still Dark Vengeance.
Yeah.
You can't, the only starter set available is Dark Vengeance. So if you get a little kid, damn wiener kid, in your store,
yeah,
he wants to play 40K, you have to sell him Dark Vengeance and the $85 rulebook.
Yeah. Well, Dark Vengeance comes with a rulebook.
It comes with a fucking 6th edition rulebook.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's now $185 to start. So if they count that bundle package.
I got a bundle package.
Well, if they count that, if I buy...
It goes 1, 2, 3. The 3's my wiener.
Here's how it works.
Yes?
You buy a $75 6th edition rulebook, right?
Sweet! I got my 6th edition rulebook!
Right. Okay.
Wow, there's so many gatefolds in here.
Flash forward. You buy a starter set, or someone else buys a starter set and a 7th edition rulebook.
Yes.
You spent $75. This new guy just spent $185. So, oh shit, it's outselling the old edition.
Whoa! God.
I mean, even then, even if you sell less than, like, one for one, it's still outselling, because one book's $85, one book's $75. So, every book you buy, you outsold the last edition by $10.
I was at my fucking local game store, and I saw that on, like, the shelf, the 7th edition box set with the 3 books. I wanted to walk up there and just knock it off and go, what is this shit? I got really angry when I saw it again for some odd reason.
So mad.
I know. It's just like, I want to open it up. I want to buy it, get the rule book, and take the other 2 books and just throw them. Useless!
Yeah, pretty much.
But aside from that. Yeah, so, I mean, of course it's going to outsell it. I mean, even if they just took, like, the April numbers for 6th edition to the May numbers for 7th edition, it's going to outsell it.
Yeah, I mean, Games Workshop at this point is just going to implode under its own weight. They're bleeding new customers. Like, nobody new is picking up Workshop, except very rarely. And the people who are diehards. They're just always going to play Workshop.
I can't wait to get my Tyranid Codex.
Like, I mean, that's fine. If that's their jam, you know, if they've got, like, I mean, I can understand it if you're, like, if you're deep.
If you're heavy invested.
If you're in deep. If you've got, like, 10 40K armies.
Yeah.
Like, you're one of the old school guys who just fucking has everything.
Yeah.
quitting for you would be stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it would actually be dumb.
Like, why would I quit smoking? I'm already at a 3-pack-a-day habit. I'm invested.
No, at that point, that's saying, why do I quit smoking? I already have tracheal, lung, and brain cancer. Gonna continue smoking. That's what it is. Oh, man, I just compared Games Workshop to cancer. That was, that was not intentional. Kinda, maybe.
But yeah, the new box set actually comes out in April and in September, so
we'll see what kind of savage deal that is.
Well, I mean, I always like the starter sets. They always have like unique sculpted models that are sculpted really beautifully. It's usually a huge deal.
Usually, it's been like they've been getting worse.
Even Dark Vengeance for $100 was a sweet deal for what you got.
I never priced out Dark Vengeance. Well, I figure it was probably a fine deal.
What, me?
Oh, especially if you got the rule book, because that's $75 right there.
Yeah, exactly. You get the rule book. You get a 10-man squad, which is $50.
You get a squad.
You get a squad of Terminators, which is $50. Three bikes, which is $50. So that's like, just for the Space Marines alone, that's $150 right there. And then for the Chaos, you got a squad, and a 5-man squad of Chaos Space Marines, which is,
you got the cultists, too,
$50.
Right?
20 cultists, which is like $100.
And you got the Juggernaut with the fine buttocks.
And the Juggernaut with the fine buttocks, which is usually like $200.
I hate that model.
I hate it too. And you got all that sweetness, and for, you know, $100, it's a huge deal in comparison. No, I really like Dark Vengeance. I thought it was a great box set.
All right, fair enough.
I like all their box sets.
Well, I always try, when I tried to get people into the game, when it was my fucking job. Almost universally, I'm like, hey, I know you're looking at, like, for fantasy, because that was, like, when people, like, started actually trying to play fantasy. Now, like, it's nope.
Yeah.
Like, if you think 40K has got no new players. So I would just be like, oh, hey, oh, yeah, you like this army? That's cool. Why don't you look at this box? This has got tons and tons of goblins and dwarves.
Yeah.
Do you like either one? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, the dwarves are actually really cool. And then it's like, do you have a buddy who might like the goblins? We're like, I think so. And it's like, well, come back. Bring it. And then they'd come in and be like, dwarves and goblins? Be like, this box, that's $50. $25 for each of you. You get a whole army of dwarves. You get a whole army of goblins.
Dude, that box set was the best deal ever for Games Workshop. Yes.
And then they ended up buying three of the Battle for Skull Pass boxes.
And you have
and they had big armies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, wow, this we have big armies now. And I was like, there you go.
And they're like, what's this 8th edition? Oh, my army's pitiful and tiny in comparison now.
That's fucking bad. But actually, if you had three Battle for Skull Pass sets, you actually have enough goblins for 8th edition.
No, you don't. You have enough for one unit. No,
you have enough goblins for 8th edition. Yeah. I didn't say you had enough orcs, because you have none.
You have enough for one unit. 300 goblins, one unit. But yeah, I think when the box set comes out...
I still stand by my statement, I wish 10mm was the most popular.
You sold all your Warmaster.
I know, because nobody fucking plays 10mm.
I play 10mm!
Well, you've got enough for me to just borrow. Oh, yeah. If I'm just battling you, I could be like, hey, you want to play Warmaster? Bring over two armies.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
I have so much Warmaster at home. I will never, ever, ever sell my Warmaster. Ever. Ever.
That's fine. I just
refuse.
I'm not telling you to sell your Warmaster. I'm just saying I'm annoyed that, like, there's no, like, Warmaster tournament coming up that I could go to.
Yeah. I know some guys that play.
Apparently, it's like pretty decent in other countries.
In other countries, in Europe.
Yeah, because I mean, I'd even play historicals.
Fortress Europa.
No, like, did you just hear what I said?
What?
I would even play historicals.
No, you wouldn't.
10mm. Yes, I would.
What era? Civil War?
No, not Civil War. No guns. I would play historicals.
You could
totally
be that guy who goes up to the tournament in the full Confederate uniform.
No.
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 And a katana.
In that case, yes. And I'll wear a northern hat, a Confederate outfit. I'll have a katana and an Uzi.
Yes.
And I'll be like, I am the ultimate warrior. So, like I said, yes, I would play historicals if it was 10mm. No guns, though. So we're talking, like, medieval or... Yeah. Medieval would be sweet. Swords and shit.
Yeah,
and
Warmaster Ancients is a great rule set.
Yeah, that'd be fine, too.
Yeah.
I'd even do Greeks.
The Greeks?
Hoplites and stuff.
Some sort of Macedonian
pikes. I straight up would be into it, if it was on the 10mm.
If you will.
Yeah, and there's a couple other fantasy 10mm games, too, that, like, have cheap models.
Yeah, Yeah.
And they're like,
Demon Fort. I don't know why. I know all this stuff. Well,
yeah, I mean, I know a shit ton of the 10 millimeter games too. It's just like, I don't, like, nobody fucking plays them around here.
Yeah.
I just wish it was more popular. And the thing that's weird to me is, like, I don't understand why it's not. I understand why it's not the most popular. Because the models don't look as good when you're, you know, to casual observers, because they're smaller. They're harder, easier to paint. I think most people think they're harder, just flat out. They're like, these are going to be way harder to paint. They're so much smaller. When most of the time, they're actually way easier.
Yeah. Well, I think and, at least where we are, the part of the reason is because it's, we've said it 1,000 times, it's a workshop town.
It's becoming a war machine town.
It
really has.
You know, becoming a war machine town is a whole thing. You got to stop bathing. You got to get really angry all the time.
Look, look, just because you're jelly.
I'm jelly of the war machine players.
Just because you're
jelly. I have yet, it's true, I have yet to grow my own odor like they do. I have yet to ferment the war machine smell.
Dude, some war machine player is going to just nutsack you.
Here's my war machine.
No, he's just gonna nutsack. You're gonna be walking along. Suddenly, you're gonna be on the ground, and there's gonna be a ball sack on top of your head, and it's gonna get dragged down into your mouth.
Enjoy my troll blood.
Yeah, enjoy.
It's gonna be like Jabba no one, Chico.
No, no. Everything they say is ko. Everything is like ko in Huttese. It's like kiko ka wa ka koko ka kiko ko wa kiko ke solo. Because Star Wars is shit. That's why.
Oberyn's Boba Fett.
You're so fucking wrong. You're like insanely wrong about it. It's a terrible analogy.
I'm a Crixus player. And as I feel your association with the smell and war machine is completely wrong. I don't know. I've never smelled anything fouler than the
I was talking about the Oberyn Boba Fett thing.
I know, but I'm just...
I wasn't talking about...
I'm just saying. I'm going back to that because we already...
Are you talking about the stinky Adepticon room?
The worst room.
Well, Adepticon smells like shit.
Yeah, but when you smell like shit in a room that smells like shit, or you smell more like shit than a room that smells like shit...
I did not observe this this phenomenon, but I do know... There's some very stinky folks.
You know the ass crack guy.
Wait, you worked at fucking workshop. You know how stank ass some of those guys are.
Yeah, but no one plays Warhammer anymore. They've all migrated. Now it's not as scary as the Malfoy room. I think the Malfoy room has the possibility, if Malfoy keeps growing, of becoming the stinkiest room at Adepticon. A lot of juggalos.
Like actually, like seriously?
Oh. I don't know. As if the game at the Ghost last night, there was a ton of juggalos.
Nice.
I was like, well, they weren't in the full makeup and drinking the Faygo, but they were totally juggalos. I could tell.
That's terrible.
Either they were juggalos or they were Yu-Gi-Oh! Players.
Lex Luthor stole 40 cakes. That's as many as 4 tens. And that's terrible.
Yeah. It's like, they were Yu-Gi-Oh! Players for sure. Like, if I was like, hey, you guys want to play a tabletop game? They would totally be like, yeah, man, let's play some Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm like, God damn it.
The ultimate tabletop game is the RPG.
Is Yu-Gi-Oh! RPG?
No, just the RPG.
Just the RPG.
It's the best tabletop game. Period. All right,
I'll take your word for it.
You don't have to take my word for it. Dun-dun-dun! Did you like my fucking reading Rainbow?
Yeah,
that was good. I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow. I can do anything, cause I read a book. Now I can literally do anything, like create a planet. I have become a god, cause I read a book. I'm ready to go. Reading Rainbow. Man should have this power.
Just really quick, I know Redbox Games is doing another Kickstarter.
Redbox Games is the Jimmy Jam.
They have the best 28 to 32 millimeter figures I have seen in a long ass time.
They
in metal, at least.
Okay, so we plug a decent amount of companies or groups here. No one's ever paid us to do anything.
No.
So they
did send us a bunch of models, but
that was after the fact. Yeah. We were already pimping them, and they sent us some models away. Yeah. But here's how it is. Like, so I've got like a hierarchy. Best alternative miniatures for wargaming fantasy, Titanforge.
Yes.
flat out. Like, they have the coolest sculpts. Like, that thing's awesome.
Oh my god, have you seen the Zeppelin?
Yeah, I thought everything's amazing.
It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, everything's amazing. The fucking the Hammer Forge dwarf who's got the giant metal arms.
Yeah,
that guy's awesome looking. For D&D like role playing style skirmish minis or a fantasy skirmish game with circular bases, nothing beats
Redbox. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they are leaps and bounds above anything else.
It's because they have the look of classic D&D, but it's contemporary.
Yeah, it's not like really like weird sculpted arms and shit like
right.
that.
Right. Well, they're also not in bad or old poses that you had to do because the technology was worse.
Yeah,
it's fully using, all of the latest sculpting, just techniques.
Yeah, they're really really nice.
But it has that classic style. That meaty style we all love.
They're doing fantasy barbarian.
Barbarians.
Hordesmen. Hordesmen. They've already made their goal, of course, and you got a while to go. They got 15 days to go on it. I totally recommend it. They're very chaosy stuff, but it's good for, just fighting some dudes. Like, oh, it's a Viking raiding party or some barbarian raiding party.
Yeah, you just use, or you can use it as your barbarian player character.
Barbarians.
Yeah, I'm not even a fucking barbarian. Like, I want to be barbarian.
If you're not using,
I won't play. I'm not gonna be a barbarian.
If you're playing a barbarian character though, and you're not using the Drachmax Zero model from Rackham Confrontation, shame on you.
No one knows what you just said.
I'm just saying.
I don't know what you just said.
Okay, let me show you the model, and then.
Okay, that's fine. But you're just like, if you don't use some obscure model, you're doing it wrong. Are you saying that you dare say?
No. This is not just some obscure model. This is the greatest barbarian.
Is this gonna be a big veiny dick? Is that what it is? Ew, what?
That is the greatest model
that
ever
model
to use.
That model is awful.
To use for a barbarian. That model is, I love it.
It's so bad.
His jaw is so huge.
That is awful.
I have that model.
That's a terrible, I love using that model. Terrible miniature.
I love that model. If you are not using that model as your barbarian character,
you're really
doing
smart
because
this miniature is awful.
Bullshit,
his head is bigger than his chest.
I love it. It's so good.
So that's an awful miniature. Thank you for that. It was really funny. So again, use a Redbox miniature because that Rackham model was garbage.
All right, and we got perfect. We're gonna end this right on time.
I heard you climax. Ten up.
Did you draw the small? I'm looking at the Facebook page. Did you draw the small saw straw? Do you have to tell Lord Ursus we're out of honey?
Nah, Lord Ursus. Yay! He's a big burr with a crown. Yay, bears.
Still say that's my favorite D&D story of all time. It's like green text from 4chan about the guy who has the bear.
The bear. That's
character.
A rogue, and it has like charisma like 19, like, so it convinces everyone it's not a bear. that was the most egregious use of raw ever.
It's just so awesome.
Just like, this is how the raw is.
But it's perfect role-playing, though. One guy passes the check. He's like, it's a bear.
It's a bear. That's not a human, it's a bear.
Drinking Quest, Trilogy Edition.
Yeah, dog.
You're a big fan of Drinking Quest.
Chug, chug, chug. I know Jason Anarchy's way too cool to listen to us, but
in 2011,
he's a cool guy.
The original ones, two sequels, Yeti Vetters, Yeti Adventure, and Nectar of the Gods.
Yeah, they're doing they're going to be a full color collection.
Yeah.
Chug Locks.
Not quite.
There's a Drinking Quest comic, too.
Is there?
Yeah, it's getting big.
It's 9,000, and they're at $10,000 Canadian, so I imagine that's like $2,000 American, something like that. Or how many dollars, how does that translate to bison dollars?
Canadian dollars, I believe, are worth slightly less than American dollars, but it's not much.
How many bison?
So it's probably like 8,000 American dollars?
How many bison dollars is it?
Like, the American dollar is pretty shit in general. Like, usually most money's
don't
worth more.
Don't talk about that.
And,
I can still buy my Freedom Scooter
our money looks terrible. It's awful looking.
You know why our money is great?
The ugliest money.
Our money is great because it's money.
All money is money.
No, all money.
Unless it's bison dollars, then it's worth more than money.
That's the European. That's the Europeans use bison dollars.
What's your seriously, man? What's your beef with the Euro guys?
Euro?
I hate Euro games, but
with the Euro,
the European Union, you versus the EU,
me versus the EU,
yeah.
Grudge match, take on Joe versus the European Union. Tonight I take on the Republic of Macedonia.
Macedonia? What?
Why don't you, you should form a Yugoslav state.
You should fight Babylon.
I should fight Babylon? Yeah, should That's fight not Babylon. Even in Europe.
Just fight Babylon.
It's in Iraq.
I don't give a shit. Fight Babylon.
Fight the Babylon,
You think
man.
You could take Gilgamesh? I don't think so.
Can I take Enkidu first?
Maybe. He's not as strong as Gilgamesh.
Perhaps Ishtar? how many others? Hashut? So yeah, they're coming out, and they got 25 days to make their goal, 15,000. Back it. It's a really good homegrown game.
The thing that's really cool about it is it's a solid game. It's fun, and it's not a game that's designed to just get you absolutely fucking destroyed. Metal.
It's their video from
yeah,
the.
It's good
the
stuff.
For $44 the USA option, you get the physical game as well as immediate downloads of all the full Drinking Quest comic book wallpaper, rap song with MC Lars. And then in October, you will get the trilogy edition as well as all earned stretch goals.
Yep.
So that's $44 Canadian. So, I mean, it's going to cost you like, what, $3 American? Something like that.
It's a good deal. It's nice. They look nice. It's a box set that has all three games in it because they're all standalone games. They have a connected storyline, but they're all standalone. And as far as it's a light drinking game. So if you're drinking beers, you'll probably get buzzed when you're done after you play through the quests. If you're drinking mixed drinks, then you might get a little hammered. Which is sweet. It's nice to have that option.
You'll be good to do with this. I've been going to some local microbrews around here. Maybe we could get a little drinking quest group together.
Yeah, cuz it's an RPG.
Over the summer.
It's actually not it's straight up an RPG. Like you play little cards and it's got stats and you roll dice. It's sweet. Well, yeah. The dude's got a good there's a lot of good pop culture references. Like Chuglox looks like fucking Conan. It's awesome.
Does he look like Drac Mac Zero? do we any other Kickstarters I know we need to talk about?
Talked about Red Box, and then we talked about
Those were the two that came out. What about
there's like those there's a couple sci-fi ones.
That's 40mm one.
Yeah, there's a card game. There's a 40mm one. The one that comes with extra troppers.
Xeno Shift got dropped.
I want the one with extra troppers.
What?
There's some game where they misspelled troopers and they keep saying they misspelled repeatedly, so it's extra troppers. It's like, I want extra troppers.
I was really confused when you said that because I have a friend whose last name is Tropper, so I was
I need more of him.
But the the weird thing is that Xeno Shift got dropped by Cool Mini, so then the Kickstarter dropped, so that's out there. The art is fucking
The art's sweet,
gorgeous.
In that one.
It's a co-op game.
Speaking of art. And things looking good in Kickstarters. How about them Relic Knights?
You know what?
Did you see those minis?
Here's the problem. And this I've said this. How many times do I fucking say this? That's the problem with CAD fucking miniatures. When you put
it out
there.
There's a lot more going on than CAD there, my friend. Those miniatures don't have faces.
There's part of a reason. Look, I like Cool Mini. For a lot of reasons, but that's one of the reasons you don't go through them for your Kickstarters. and that's part of the complaints I've heard a lot about them with that. You don't go through them if you're doing a third-party Kickstarter. If they're doing their own Kickstarter, kind of like Xeno Shift is, do it because it'll be great. You know, it'll come out on time. It'll be perfect. If you're going through them as like a third party, you're gonna corners get cut.
Faces get reduced to nothing.
I think, I don't know. I have to see more than just to, like, I understand that. And that's part of the, also one of the things I always yell at people about is when, I've said it on this podcast 1,000 times, when you see a CAD model, that is not the model you are getting.
However, there was that one that fucking straight up, all of the minis look exactly like the CAD.
Well, I mean, like, while some of them are good, like Wild West Exodus looks very much like the CAD.
Yeah.
But it's a crapshoot. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, because you don't know exactly. Well, you don't know exactly how they're making the model.
Yeah,
you know what they're printing it on, that kind of stuff. I think soon.
Sometimes you could put it to you could give it to someone and they could lose your CAD files or say your CAD files don't work.
No, they don't work. These files don't work. You can't send us new files because we've already spent the money. that torn armor's going good. It looks like they've been saved. So. Yeah. Most people and that's good. I'm happy about that. I hope Torn Armor, you know,
I do
does
too.
Well. And the Defiance Games Kickstarter, the one they ran for
their mobile suits.
It's gone quiet. they said nothing since I think April. I think April was the last update, and there's been nothing. So the entire comments wall of Kickstarter backers is just people going like, what the fuck is going on? Like, has anyone heard anything? Or like saying like, well, I guess we got ripped off here. I guess good to know.
good to know.
Yeah, so that's a thing. I'm really happy that Torn Armor's coming back. But as far as the CAD to model thing, I think in about 5 years' time, maybe less, it's going to, you're going to be completely wrong, because it's just going to be.
Yeah, in 5 or 6 years' time, when it becomes.
The shit's going to be just like, you're going to kickstart, and they're going to go, yay, here's the files, and you're going to print it out in your house,
yeah. I don't see why that couldn't be an issue, but.
I think that's something I'm interested in. I want to see where miniatures games go once you print stuff at home. Like, do you think companies just stop producing minis and just start selling files? Like,
I mean, I think
how are you going to sustain? I think that's a very interesting conversation. How are you going to just sustain your company?
In my own opinion, I think making 3D printers are still going to be a very niche thing, at least for. I will say the next 10 to 15 years, 3D printers are going to be a very niche thing. 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And when I say niche, I mean kind of like how computers were in the 90s. You know, like people had them. People knew about them.
I mean, I want a 3D printer as soon as it's affordable.
Yeah, I do too. But my thing is that, is my dad going to have a 3D printer? No. Is my...
Unless it can print sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, my dad would love that. I would love that.
Just saying.
Yeah. Will my friends who aren't into tabletop gaming or, you know, their whole hobby is sports, will they want a 3D printer? Maybe. You know, maybe they like something that I don't necessarily know
about.
They could
print out a sportsman.
They could print out a sportsman. But will my – or – but, you know, guys who work – like I do a lot of, like, you know, handiwork with wood.
You do a lot of handies.
I would like it just because I could print off, you know, maybe screws, or I could do, you know, hardware that would fit. Like a project that I'm working on that's not necessarily about miniatures, but it's going to be a niche thing. It's going to be a hobby thing. It's not going to be something until like 20 years from now when the technology is A, perfected, B, they have multiple different types of material that you can use for it. And
it's super cheap.
Like computers got in the 2000s. You know, once computers dropped below like $700 for like a basic computer, everyone had them.
Yeah.
Once internet became a staple, everyone got the internet. Except if you live out in the central states where all you have is dial-up.
Well, and we're the U.S., so we have, like, third-world internet.
Our internet is run by potato.
Pretty much. We do. It's unfortunate.
Latvia is jealous of our potato internet.
Yeah. They're jealous of our potato internet and our imperial measurement system. That's right, Americans. We're America, and we can do it.
They're not jealous of our imperial measurement system. They're jealous of our Fahrenheit measurement system.
Yes,
far good. Superior to Celsius in every way, shape, and form.
Celsius.
Anyway,
it went up to 100 degrees Celsius.
Go to we pimped Drinking Quest, we pimped Redbox, we made fun of Defiance, we made fun of Relic Knights, Bad Sculpts, but I still don't. That's first wave. I guarantee you. Time will tell on that one.
Time will tell.
I have a lot of faith in the Ninja Division guys.
I do too.
They're good guys,
but they're not actually responsible for these minis. They're like moving them basically. Yeah. They're taking them from point A to part B. They're not actually...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Relic Knights is part of their company.
Yeah. But they didn't make these minis.
No, they didn't make
them. This is like a holdover from their previous arrangements.
Yes.
We would never talk bad about you, Vendor Badge.
Vendor Badge. But yeah, that's... time will tell on them. Because all their stuff is really good. And even their newest, the Super Dungeon Explorer Kickstarter, they're constantly updating you on information of what's coming out, where everything is in terms of production levels.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they could be very well on time. All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. I think it's games-classy.sex. .org.
Let's talk about X, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about Hex. The auction house is coming out soon for Hex, so they're starting to implement more of their features.
Even though they're going to get sued into oblivion?
They're still being sued. It's happening, but That won't be resolved for years, so who fucking knows?
We're facebook.com/pages/game-classy. So there you go on that one.
You remembered.
Oh, right. I just brought it up. That's oh. when we were singing the Hex song, I used that to look that up.
All right.
Also, like our sponsor!
Northampton.
The Northampton Wargamer.
I plugged them earlier.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, you did. Because we're making fun of Hamish's mom, aren't we?
Maybe.
Yeah. We also make fun of them because they don't use euros in England. They use the pound.
The libra. The libra. Then that's the little L thing. It's a libra.
Libra. The pound.
Yeah, the pound.
The strongest currency in the world.
Well, it was. The sun never set in the British Empire.
No.
It does now, though.
Yes.
It's very small.
The sun does set on the British Empire. It's the only way those pasty fucks can get out. Ha! Take that, England.
You're pretty pale, bro.
Got a nice tan going.
I think that's a burn.
I did get burned the other day. But so I was doing some hard manual labor.
Rejacking it in the backyard?
Yeah. Oh, my wiener's burnt. It burns so bad.
That's what I call manual labor.
I had Hamish's mom come over, put some aloe on it. Some aloe vera.
Nice. Did you give an aloe vera enema?
That's disgusting on every level.
Simply the best!
I'm sorry I came up with that. Comment on our iTunes page. I love it. The last comment is the guy who was talking about how vulgar we are.
Yes,
so
that's fucking sweet.
So I need a new comment on there to take that off the top.
Or another comment that just says how fucking vulgar we are.
These guys, then give us at least the 5 stars or whatever the top rating is, because this guy gave us 1 star and he was like,
yes,
these guys are so vulgar.
Would you tell that guy to drop a dick in his mouth?
I would drop a deuce in his mouth.
Yeah.
Wait, I wouldn't waste the deuce in him.
Oh, damn dog, damn random internet dog. You just got totally burned by Joe. He was like, I won't even shit his mouth. Whoa.
No, I'd shit on his neck so he'd feel it, the heat.
The warmth. And then he'd feel your musk, and
then
the warmth.
Then I would take a little smear of it and put it right underneath his nose. A
little
stickle. little Hitler
give
mustache
give
and poop.
A stickle of fluoride.
Like right underneath the nose. A little Hitler mustache and poop. So you can smell it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe I'd have you do it, because you're
what if he already has a Hitler mustache?
Your feces is obviously far more foul than mine.
What if he already had a little Hitler mustache? What if he, in fact, already is Hitler?
Oh, maybe he is literally worse than Hitler.
He's like Super Hitler.
Yeah.
I assume Super Hitler would definitely be worse than Hitler.
Yeah, but Super Hitler has Gatling guns.
That's Mecha Hitler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Super Hitler does not?
No, Super Hitler is like Superman, but he's Hitler.
Oh, okay. That comb over, that weird hairstyle.
Jawohl.
Jawohl. Okay, so like our iTunes page, comment, subscribe. We got the YouTube page up there for people who like to listen to this on the tubes.
The yub tubes.
Cool. And the yub yubs. And also comment on tabletop gaming news. I love seeing the stuff on there. Of course, we
get so many comments.
Look at comments. And then everyone else's comments are like on other things. They're like, this is stupid.
I mean, that's the comments on our thing, too. Yeah, so exactly. We just get more.
Oh, it's totally. I'm going to put like Oberyn Martell's smashed face on this cover page. Just to see Polar Bear freak out when he sees like 8,000 comments.
It's funny.
Yes, exactly. So, Steve, until next time.
Keep your teeth in your head.
Game Classy.